I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We start the class off with that because words matter, and the Lord works with our words. And if you immediately right off the bat saying those things as another way of saying, I will get something today. This will help me. This is building me up. I'm learning. I'm growing. The vast difference between that, to even if you don't say it, to just kind of slumping and watching and going, well, we'll see if anything happens or not. No faith in that. Right? So nothing for the Lord to work with. So I want to hear you say it again. It's working.
It's working.
I'm receiving.
I'm receiving.
I'm getting stronger.
I'm getting stronger.
I'm growing.
I'm growing.
Amen. Amen. And that's not based on me. I'm a vessel. And the Lord uses other vessels. It's His Word. It's His Spirit. Right? It's the anointing. And we respect that here. And we're giving place to that here. So get your Bible. Get a something to make a note with. Come on into the classroom with us. Turn off everything else. Don't try to do this in a bunch of other things at the same time. That's not giving this the proper respect, giving His Word the proper respect. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking You for the anointing that teaches, reminds, reveals, guides, even shows us things to come. Asking for ears to hear and eyes that see and hearts that can distinguish and understand. Give us, Lord, this day our daily bread and our spiritual bread and all that You know that would benefit us to please You and to be a good witness for You and to be a blessing and a help to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on our series continuing now for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're asking and answering the question, is it God's will for us to have plenty of material things, natural things, money, things? People have different ideas about it, but really what you think, it doesn't matter much if it's not based on something that's sure. And what we've come to find out is it's the Word of God that's sure.
Yes.
Right? And so we don't want to talk about what you think about it or what I think about it or what our group or family or whatever. What did God actually say about it? Because we're now talking about faith in God to do something in our life. And if I'm going to have look to God to be my provider, to take care of me naturally and materially and financially, it's got to be based on something. Even though I might want to believe it, it's just wishful thinking if it's not based on something solid. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have faith in me to do something for you I never told you I would do. Right? You might say, well, yeah, but you know, I can believe for anything. So I'm just believing that Brother Keith is going to come over to my house and cut my grass and do my laundry. You hear all the laughing? Well, if you say, I'm believing for that to happen. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. People in some circles, our circles, what people call word circles, faith circles, charismatic circles, have really overused this word believing. Mm-hmm. I'm believing for this. I'm believing for that. I'm believing, believing, believing. Are you? Are you? Or are you wishing? Huh? Wanting. So if you say, well, no, I have faith, and I can believe for anything. All things are possible to him that believes. And so I'm believing that you, Brother Keith, are going to come over to my house and cut my grass and do my laundry. Well, certainly it's possible that that could happen, but you got no grounds to believe that I'm going to come do it. Faith in me can only be based on what I told you I would do. Right? So no, you can't believe that based on faith in me, based on my words. And so we need to watch about throwing this word believing around too loosely. Anytime you say, I'm believing for this, you need to pause and ask yourself, what is that based on? What I said, I'm believing God to do something for me. Did he say he would do that? Did he say that was his will? So it's got to, but faith is not just mindless believing. It's based on something. That's what the scripture says. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing, and hearing specifically what the Lord said. And that's why we keep talking about faith works the same in every area, but it has to be developed in each area. You don't get faith for provision hearing about faith to go to heaven, you know, or faith that your sins are forgiven. That's great. You need faith for that. But that doesn't give you faith to pay your bills. And faith to pay your bills, even though you might feed on that, that doesn't give you faith to be healed. Can you see what I'm talking about? What's my, I'm believing for this to happen. Based on what? Who told you they would do that? Faith is trust and being convinced and persuaded of what somebody said. What did they say that would cause you to say? Now, if I told you, I will come, I will cut your grass. I said, if. If. I said, if I will come, then you could. Now, see, if you didn't have faith in me, you'd say, well, I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it, you know. Well, that means you wouldn't believe it at all, because by the time you saw it, that's too late to believe it. See what I'm saying? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you're already seeing it, it's too late to believe it. We walk by faith, not by sight. So if I told you I would do it, then now you have something to base your faith on, and it's just a choice. Do you believe I will do what I told you I would do? Do you believe I can do what I told you I would do? And if you did, even without any document or signed anything, or you would say, hey, Brother Keith's coming over to cut my grass. So what makes you say that? He told me. Come on, y'all with me? He told me. And you believe that? Yeah. I believe he's a person of his word. I believe he'll do what he said. I believe he can do what he was saying. Well, it's exactly that way with God. Exactly the same way. So that's why we're taking the time to go over 30 different areas of what he said. Right? What he said about his will, his plan, his ability for provision for us. And once you hear that enough and you realize God's the same yesterday, today, forever, he's no respecter of persons, that's what he said, then I know what his will is for me. It's the same as it's always been. So we've been going one by one through these 30 reasons, beginning with the Lord is my shepherd. And number 16 was the promised land. And we're down now to number 17. And that is the covenant blessing. God has always been a covenant God. A covenant is an agreement, and usually a written agreement. And it is made up of commitments and promises and benefits and repercussions if you break the covenant. And the most serious of covenant there is the blood covenant, because a life was given to seal that covenant, to show the seriousness of this covenant. We have a covenant with God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Whew. And we saw in previous classes that he made covenant with Noah after the flood. He made covenant with Abraham, and he made covenant with Israel. And you might say, well, yeah, but what's that got to do with us? It's a good question to ask, and you need to answer that question. It has everything to do with us. And one way to help you understand this is that God never changes. And so from the very first covenant we know anything about until the new covenant, that's the fulfillment of all that came before it, he wants the same thing. He didn't change. What he wanted before, he wanted in the middle, and he wants at the end. He does not change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We've looked at the covenant with a little bit with Abraham. What did he want in this covenant with Abraham? Go back to Genesis 17, if you will, and let's just remind ourselves of that covenant. That was many centuries ago, and yet the New Testament, Galatians, tells us it applies to us, right? Mm-hmm. That what Jesus did, he became accursed for us. And because it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. He fulfilled that prophecy. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, which was breaking the covenant, which all have done. If you've sinned, you broke the covenant. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so then you didn't, if you sinned and broke the covenant, you didn't deserve the blessing. You deserve the curse. And the wages of sin is death. And that's where every human being has been all through this thing. But hallelujah, because Jesus became a curse in our place, he redeemed us from the curse. And you might say, qualified us for the blessing, as though we had kept the law. Oh, come on, can you see this? In order that the blessing, oh, somebody say the blessing.
The blessing.
The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Then the Bible says you are the seed of Abraham,
yes,
and heirs according to the promise.
Yes.
Whoo!
Hallelujah.
Well, that blessing made Abraham and his family the richest in the whole region. Is that right? Multiplied everything they had, kept them, gave he and Sarah a miracle baby when they were way past age. The list goes on and on and on. Does that blessing still exist today? Does it still work today? Are you the seed of Abraham? By faith in Jesus. So all of these are connected. And if you look in the in Genesis, the 17th chapter, he talked about, he said, when Abram was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and he said, I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I'll make my covenant between me and you. I will multiply you exceedingly. Hallelujah. Somebody say covenant. Blessed. Hallelujah. And the scripture goes on to say, I won't go through all of it because we're talking about another part of the covenant. But in that covenant, what did he say would happen? He said that he would bless those that blessed him, curse those that cursed him. He would multiply everything he had, and he made him rich. And in his seed or descendant would all the earth be blessed. Well, that was pointing to Jesus, right? Because Galatians brings out that seed there is singular, not plural. So he was talking about Jesus. And so his will back there all those centuries and centuries and thousands of years ago for his covenant partner was that they be blessed, kept, protected.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Delivered if they need it, with a bright future.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Well, when he revealed to his people Israel, almost half a millennia after that, 430 years later, and he entered into covenant with them, what does it say? We're going to read it in just a moment, but that they entered into covenant. He said, if you keep my covenant, you stay with me, blessed. Blessed. You'll be blessed when you go out. Blessed when you come in. Blessed in your back. Now, let's just stop here. Doesn't that sound like the same thing he was talking about with Abraham?
Yes.
He doesn't change. Right? His will, and if you read the whole thing, he gives a lot more detail. And then he gives the law that showed right from wrong and good from evil. But the effect was very, very similar of what the blessing would do. He keeps talking about the blessing, and that's the first thing he talked to Abraham about, the blessing. In you, he said, I'm going to bless you, and everybody that blesses you, I'm going to bless them, and in your seed will all the earth be blessed. He kept talking about blessed, blessed. Blessed. And that was one of the big reasons for the covenant was to bless. Now, he brings up that with Israel that if you break the covenant, if you replace God with foreign gods, if you reject what he told you to do, you ignore it, well, then you're not going to have the blessing. You're going to have the curse. And because people did that way more than they did the other, then they wind up in the curse, and by and large, the curse is working throughout humanity, which is why Jesus had to come, right? And what we just got through quoting from Galatians. But go with me, if you would now, to, Exodus. Thank you, Lord. So much to talk about here. It's a wonderful, wonderful. Before we do that, let's go back to Deuteronomy again. Deuteronomy 30. I tell you what, before we get to that, stop at chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11. Y'all believing with me on this? There's a lot. If you want to get the whole thing, you need to read the whole book of Deuteronomy, right? And the whole book of Exodus. In Exodus, what did I tell you? Deuteronomy 11. Thank you. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, he said this. Deuteronomy 11, 26, he said this in connection with the giving and making of the covenant. He said, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. And so, what application does that have to us today? Well, like we had mentioned in previous classes, if you look in 1 John, for instance, he talks about keeping commandments of the Lord. In the New Testament, repeatedly you see the phrase about us keeping the commandments of the Lord. If people say, well, that don't apply to us anymore, you hadn't read the Bible. You hadn't read the New Testament. But, for instance, in Romans it says, if you love another, if you love others, that is the fulfilling of the law. And Jesus even said, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, he said, that is all the law and the prophets, if you do that. So, again, it sounds like there's a whole lot of things here and a whole lot of different things, but it's really the same thing. It's really the same thing. Details about it, and as the millennia have gone by and more revelation has come out about it, but number one, believe in God.
Yes.
Love God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Number two, love people. Right? Walk in love with people. The first one, you're not going to love a God you don't believe in, that you don't believe He exists. So there's faith. And 1 John talks about keeping His commands, and he's writing to believers, and he said His commandments are not grievous. And he goes on to say, and this is His commandment, that we should believe. We believe what He said about Jesus. We believe that He is the gift, He is the Savior, He is the Redeemer, and that we love one another.
Yes.
As He gave us commandment,
amen.
That's faith,
yes,
and love.
Yes.
Which, like we said before, will keep you busy,
yes,
every day. Is that right? If walking by faith all day will keep you occupied. Walking in love all day will keep you occupied. You'll have 1,000 opportunities to doubt and be afraid, but no, you say, I walk by faith, right? You'll have 1,001 opportunities to get mad and upset and not walk in love, because there's a lot of folks doing a lot of wrong things around you, but choose to forgive. Choose not to hold a grudge. Choose to love. Now that, you know, people misunderstand. Keeping the commandment of love is not based on how you feel about somebody. He didn't say, feel amazing towards everybody. You're walking in love the strongest when you feel like slapping somebody, but you don't. Instead of that, you do something good for them, right? Instead of doing what you feel like, you remember, I have a covenant with God, and part of my covenant is keeping the commandment, right? That He commanded me to love, to treat them like I love them, regardless of how I feel about it, and not be a hypocrite. Whatever the Lord did for me, I need to be willing to do that for them. He forgave me, I should be willing to forgive them. And so He goes on to say, I set before you a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey. Does it make any difference today whether you obey or not?
Yes.
Now, we're not trying to keep the law to be saved or to be righteous. But if I don't listen to the Lord, is it going to cost me?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, can I forfeit blessing if I'm hard-headed and stubborn and disobedient? Then, yeah, I can wind up in some cursed things that I shouldn't be in. That's not for me, but it's not God's fault. He said, I set before you, right? Blessing, cursing. It's up to us which ones we pick. He said, verse 29, it'll come to pass when the Lord your God has brought you into the land, whether you go to possess it, you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. And these mounts are still there today in Israel. And if you are looking east, then Mount Ebal would be on your left to the north, and Mount Gerizim would be on the right. to the south. And so half of the leaders of the 12 tribes would stand on one mountain and half stood on the other. Now, this was all at the specific instruction of the Lord. He told them to do this. And this was the establishing of the covenant. And he told them, he said, we are entering into a covenant together this day. He's entering into a covenant to be their God. They're entering into a covenant with him to be his people. And he told them what he would do for them. And part of this was in the blessing and the curse. So six of these stood over on Mount Ebal, and they pronounced, the Gerizim, I guess, first, the blessing. And they pronounced all the blessings. We're going to go look at those in detail later on, but blessed you'll be when you go out, when you come in, your basket, your store, if you'll obey, if you'll obey, if you'll obey, you'll be blessed, blessed, blessed. Everything you set your hand to. And when they got through, the guys on Mount Ebal, they said, and if you don't, if you reject God, if you replace him with these abominable idols, if you disobey him, if you're rebellious, then these curses will come on you. And it's not like God will have to do something specifically to hurt them. The curse is already in the earth. The curse is working in the earth. It's all over the place. Sin and death. And if you're not spared from it and kept from it and blessed, you will have the curse. And the longer you stay away from God, the worse it will get. And the further down into you. And so they all stood and pronounced basically the opposite of what these guys just said. Cursed will you be when you go out. Cursed when you come in. Cursed in your basket. Cursed in your store. Basically the complete opposite of being blessed. Well, does God want us blessed or cursed?
Blessed.
Well, does he want you to obey or disobey?
Obey.
This is not hard to figure out.
No.
And our time's up again. Said out loud, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
The blessing of the Lord.
Is on me.
I am in covenant with the faithful God, the Almighty God. And I will stand fast and hold fast to him and follow him in this covenant, and I will live in the blessing of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, we will. Well, come back to more tomorrow. There's a lot more to see here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.